To open our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. We're going through the entire book of Isaiah, as the Lord wills, and we are in the ninth chapter. I'd like to welcome everyone. I'm glad you're here. I want to encourage you that if you have any needs today, there's a God in heaven. Amen. He is almighty. Put your trust in Him. He'll help you. We live in a world that's faithless. They are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-everything that's right. And we are glad today for people that will put their trust in the Almighty. You won't find justice in this world, but in His kingdom it stands. Amen. And I'm glad we're part of that kingdom. As Jesus said, you are in the world, but not of it. Again, I say, praise the Lord. Shall we begin with prayer? Father in heaven, we come to Thee this day being thankful that Thou hast gathered us together here, even according to Thy word. I pray that Thou wouldst guide and direct us in all that we do and that Thou wouldst strengthen our faith. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst empower us with Thy Spirit, that we might do Thy will, O God, in the face of all adversity, in the face of all the powers of darkness. I pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst give us great courage and faith. Give us great boldness, O Lord, to do that which is right and good in Thy sight. I pray that Thou wouldst rebuke and cast out all the powers of darkness. I come against every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every evil principality and power. O Lord, let Thy word have the preeminence. And through the power of Thy saving blood, let every unclean thing come to naught. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're ready. I don't believe in politically correct prayers. Amen. You got to get right in there where it needs to be. And we need the Lord's help. Praise God. And it's available. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. Now, if you remember, and of course, my modus operandi, method of operation here, is to back up a couple of verses, usually. I just want you to, before we go into chapter 9, verse 1, to remember what we learned in chapter 8, that there is a curse in this world, and the reason there's a curse in this world is because of all the wicked spirits that have begun to work in people in high places, and because of the fact that people embrace the ungodliness, occultism, fornication, idolatry, every kind of wickedness imaginable. They embrace it. They hold on to it. It becomes their way of life. The message is the same today as it ever was. Repent and turn away from it. You know, we read in the 19th verse of chapter 8, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Amen. And I believe I briefly mentioned, although it's died down in the news now, that we have a lot of occultism in the White House. A lot of it. In fact, Queen Hillary, as they call her, did you know that? That's what they call her. People at work there. Queen Hillary said that she was engaged in some mental exercises. That's all they were. As she was with Jean Houston, one of the foremost witches in the country, doing mental exercises in the East Room. Of course, we know the East Room, the significance of that. The Orient, the East, toward the rising sun. That she took a little time, she said, and did these mental exercises. The truth of the matter is, she was holed up in that room for 5 days and 5 nights and never opened the door until those 5 days and 5 nights were completed with a witch, a well-known witch, and during that time, she was talking with the late Eleanor Roosevelt, Mohandas Gandhi, and others of that ilk, because she was trying to identify with them that the people of this land don't understand her, that her intentions are to help, to be benevolent, to lift up the downtrodden, and to make a new age of Aquarius, a new great society. You see, that was her intent and purpose, and she felt so misunderstood, just like Eleanor Roosevelt was misunderstood. And so that's why she was trying to relate to these deceased people. You know what the Bible calls that? When you start talking to dead people, that's necromancy. Necromancy is witchcraft. And there's a lot of peeping and muttering going on as they go into a trance and begin to channel in these spirits. Now, you can't talk to Eleanor Roosevelt. And you can't talk to any dead person. What you're talking to and who you're talking with are wicked spirits, devils that were once angels but cast out of heaven, that impersonate people. And when you've got that kind of thing going on in the leadership of a country, and then you've got people that, even though they know this, are willing to back them, you've got a situation that's serious. And you've got one that demands judgment and the wrath of God to be poured out. And it is. This nation right now is shaking and trembling. A lot of the people are oblivious to that fact because they're so absorbed with entertainment, with diversions, with things to distract their attention. See, all the newspapers were talking about Hillary, some of them in a positive light, saying this new age is come of age. This is the end thing now. Everybody's doing it. Not this guy. And I hope nobody here is, because otherwise I got a project to work on. Amen. We know how to get rid of those devils. You see, not ignore them, but get rid of them. And of course, now everything's died down because they had that explosion over there in Saudi Arabia, which was arranged by our government to divert attention away from the subject of Hillary. And they've played that out to the fullest, you see? There wasn't one single United States military sentry or guard around that whole complex. They were all Saudi Arabians. The men who drove the truck in were allowed to get into a car and drive off. You see? It was all set up. Why? To get the attention off from what was happening in the White House. To get your attention off that and over to this awful incident that was perpetrated by these awful Saudi Arabians. Oh, I'll tell you, this is a wicked world we're dealing with. We're dealing with unconscionable people. And I believe the Bible bears this out. It's because all of the occultism and all these wicked spirits have taken charge. Now, we know that the Almighty God is ultimately in charge, but this has to go on for a little while until His judgment and His wrath is completely poured out. You might say, oh, another gloom and doom message today, huh? Absolutely. Because that's exactly what we need. Now, if I wanted to be one of these denominationalists, and I won't be, then I could stand up here with that backward collar and say, dearly beloved, God is love. Huh? And God, they don't say God, they say God, loves you unconditionally. And they have this, they take these courses in homiletics, so they talk funny, see? And people come into these churches and they become Episcopalianated, Presbyterianated, Lutheranized, Methodized. They get into this brine tank where they are put into a system and brainwashed in such a way that nothing matters anymore. Nothing's important except that we all love one another unconditionally, that God loves us unconditionally, and everything is unconditional. President Clinton, I almost choked to call him that, but he is the president, told an FBI agent by the name of Gary, let's see, what was his last name? Aldrich. Gary Aldrich, who was in charge of the personnel in the White House, background checks. He had unlimited access. In fact, he wrote a book called Unlimited Access. It's just out. If you want to get a copy, it'll tell you some amazing things. But President Clinton told him, when they're talking about truth one day, He said, the truth is whatever you want it to be. This is the president talking. He said, the truth is relative. It's whatever you want it to be. That's the truth. Now, are you thinking about that? Anything you want to make it. That's the kind of a system we're working with. And I believe that this is all predicted in the Word of God. These end times are all here. See, this is New Age. This is what comes of it. Now watch what happens here in Isaiah. We're working up to chapter 9. We'll get into it momentarily. It says, in regard to these people who forget God, who turn their back on Him, it says in verse 21, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God. Now, king here doesn't refer to an earthly king. It means the Almighty. And look upward. And they shall look unto the earth. Have you ever noticed in publications all over, when you read about earth, it's always capitalized now? I was reading a publication this morning, and my wife noticed, why is earth capitalized in the middle of a sentence like that? Why is it capitalized? And then the word following earth was herself, earth herself. Because it's become a mother earth, a consort of the sun god. This New Age stuff is all idolatry. Worshipping the creation and forgetting all about the Creator. And why is the devil getting away with this thus far? Because pastors and churches are absolutely silent on this and in fact promote it. I brought out a while back that Dr. Billy Graham is a 33rd degree Mason and a Scottish Rite. That's easily proven. So is Dr. Robert Schuller with his Crystal Cathedral. Does that surprise you? These people are dedicated to the service of Satan and of the Antichrist. You got to understand that. Now it says these people will look to the earth in verse 22. And behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. They keep talking about how they have the light. They are the enlightened ones, the light of the shining and shimmering crystals that they hang all around their houses or put in their pocket to cure their sicknesses or whatever the case may be. This is New Age-ism. It's a religion that encompasses all the other religions. It's something that they all can relate to. It is an ecumenical tool, a ploy, a plot, a common ground of iniquity that gathers all the churches together in this bond of unconditional love and a light source, not from God, but from Mother Earth herself. This is what's being taught. This is the new gospel of the new age of Aquarius. Now watch what happens as we get into chapter 9, because here we see that God is not going to let people get away with this. You should not despair. If you're a Christian, if you're ready, you have nothing to worry about. Amen. You can have a boldness and a strength and a faith and a power that other people can't understand. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 1 says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now let me clarify something here. He's talking about a situation that existed in Israel in the Old Testament. Remember where nations round about were in idolatry? Every kind of idolatry you could imagine. And the people of Israel began to look at that idolatry and were fascinated with it. decided they'd like to try it too. When they tried to get into doing the works that the heathen people did, observing their holidays, doing what they were doing, began to kill their own children. Yeah, they did. Well, what else is new, huh? Are they killing children today? By the millions? These people, these mothers in Israel that started to take on a feminist attitude were taught, according to the doctrines of Chemosh and Molech and some of these other idolatrous religions that the nations round about Israel were practicing, they taught that in order for you to become wealthy and financially secure, in order for you to advance in society, you must sacrifice one of your children in the flames of Moloch. You might say, you would think common sense would tell them that was ridiculous, that was reprehensible, that was a terrible thing. But you got to remember, there's a spirit involved here. What causes women to march into the abortion clinics, to stand in line and wait to have their children murdered by partial birth abortion, to have that child on the way out of the womb and have some so-called doctor pierce the back of the skull and suck the brains out with a vacuum? All upheld by our United States Supreme Court, which I maintain is nothing but a bunch of goofballs compared to what we once had in this country. These people are going to have to answer for these things. But my point is this. As it was in Old Testament Israel when they began to follow the heathen nations, so is it today in this country. And round about. There's nothing new. They're doing the same things. You know, you look at Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, these leaders of Babylon, where every time they wanted to make an executive decision, they'd call in the astrologers, wouldn't they? They'd call in the soothsayers, the Chaldeans. Oh, what should I do, council of soothsayers and Chaldeans? What shall I do? And they would advise them according to the stars, according to the zodiac. And I know a little about that because I was an astrologer once, so I know what it all means and where it comes from and what power is behind it. But what's the difference when you've got today, you've got Hillary Clinton, who's really running the show over there, consulting with Jean Houston, when you had Nancy Reagan consulting with another Hollywood astrologer, when you had a Teddy Roosevelt, who was a practicing astrologer, when you had Mrs. Lincoln, who held seances in the East Room, when you had all these things going on all the time, the White House has always had astrology in it. And when you've got this kind of stuff happening, and the whole nation is affected by it, and doesn't care. They might say, a lot of people don't know. That's true, a lot of people don't know. But they're starting to know. It filled the news not long ago. Christian people ought to stand up and revolt. Amen. Stand up and say, this is terrible. This is reprehensible. This is evil. I denounce this in the name of the Lord. That's what people ought to do. That's what I'm doing. Why is everybody so quiet in regard to all these things? They have absolutely taken over your life, and people are just allowing it to happen. Does the Bible say that would happen too? Let me show you something. Hold your page. Let's look at the prophet Jeremiah just for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 5. Verses 30 and 31 are very pertinent here. Now, it's going to start out by saying a wonderful and horrible thing. Wonderful here means something to be wondered at. Doesn't mean good. Doesn't mean nice. Doesn't mean tremendous. Means something to wonder about. Jeremiah 5:30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? When people love it that way, want it that way, what are you going to do? You see? I mean, God asks the question, what can you do? Well, the remnant can stand up against it. We're told to do that. When I say revolt, I mean to cry out and denouncement of it. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Revolt against the works of the devil. Now, back to Isaiah chapter 9. I've got a little something here that I brought with me, since we're on this subject. You know, the Bible says that the people that were in darkness saw great light. But Jesus also said that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Back in January 23rd of this year, the Kansas Senate opened its session. State of Kansas, all the states do this. They have state senates and house, the legislature, the representatives. But they asked a pastor by the name of Joe Wright to come in and open with prayer. Oh, that's nice of them, isn't it, to have their session open with prayer. Now, ordinarily, when they get one of these Methodist or Baptist or Episcopalian or Catholic or one of these guys come in, they give this very politically correct, generic, do nothing, say nothing of any value prayers. But this particular pastor completely and absolutely shocked them to the extent that several of the senators got up and stormed out. Totally denounced and rebelled and revolted against what this man was praying. I'm going to read that prayer for you because it isn't very lengthy. See if you can figure out why they got so mad. I don't see anything wrong with it. See if you do. Pastor Wright got up, and this is what he prayed. He said, Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness. They stand in front of the Senate. Now think about this. To ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe on those that call evil good. But that's exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternate lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. And then he asked it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that was the end of it. Several senators jumped to their feet and ran out of the room. Others stood up in protest. Now, what's wrong with that prayer? Huh? It's about time. And you've got people in there saying nothing. The prayer is worthless unless it's what's needed. And this is what's needed. See, what he did in that prayer is he very, very wonderfully covered everything that they were doing in the legislature, point by point, and denounced it. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication with prayers and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth.
Amen. All right? So he was following that scriptural guideline. But you see, this is, it's really something. When you come in, you bring in spirituality, you start binding devils and coming against what they're doing, and all hell breaks loose. It does. Have you ever noticed how since you became a Christian, you've become the death of the party? Huh? A real killjoy? Because you just bring forth what's right and it interferes and interrupts and denounces everything people are doing. People say, but this is just the way of life. It's the lifestyle of the 90s. It's the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah is what it is. And people have lost all touch with that. And you get into the book of God and he'll tell you what's right. So it tells us in verse 2 of Isaiah 9, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. That's us, by the way. Huh? Upon them hath the light shined. And what light is this talking about? Not some New Age idiocy, but that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have seen. That's what has lighted our path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now we'll read on in this prophecy. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Huh? Remember that old saying, the more the merrier? Multiplied the nation but not increased the joy. Why? There's sorrow because of the way things have become. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Now watch, there's a joy, but it's not joy. How can we illustrate that? Some guy goes out, he gets his paycheck, and he goes out and ties one on, right? Spends all his money, sets them up round after round in the bar, gets himself so bombed out of his gourd that he starts to feel single and see double and doesn't know what he's doing anymore. Right? And what happens to this guy? Oh, he's happy. Oh, he's joyful. Oh, everybody loves him. He's buying around for everybody over and over again. And then he goes home and vomits all over the place, falls into his bed in a drunken stupor, wets the bed, because he's too drunk to get up. Finally, he realizes the next day when his head is pounding, all of his money is gone. Are there people that do that? Oh, yeah. And they'll do it again, and they'll do it again, and they'll do it again, because after all, they work hard all week. They've got it coming. Right? Can people have joy that isn't real joy? Or those that will go and steal all they can get, or swindle, take people for a ride. Understand what I mean? Like the Rockefellers, when they took over the whole oil industry, and one night they literally just plain stole it. They swindled everybody else out of it. That's how they got all their money. One night, they set it up. It was a swindle. But after all, somebody's got to have it all, right? It's It's a big job to run the country. You know, somebody's got to do this. And so they divide the spoil. There's a joy there. But is there really? Is it real joy? Is joy produced by such things? See, God's on a whole different standard than what people are. There's a reason why John D. Rockefeller hated God and had put on his tombstone the epitaph, "God damned God." There's a reason why these men have hated the Almighty. They found that all the joy they could try to accumulate didn't produce joy at all. And they die a miserable death. A death without salvation. It isn't worth it. Amen. Only one life so soon as passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Remember that old poem? It's true. Amen. So they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Now what does this mean? That in the midst of all of this corruption that's going on, that God still has a remnant people that he has set free. He's broken the yoke. He's taken the oppressor away. Remember how Midian oppressed Israel? There is a deliverer. See, they want to... Do you realize that you are an oppressed people? We keep talking about, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I'm free, free, free. No, you are slave, slave, slave. The definition of a free man is one who has... This is one definition that's given, I think is quite good. One who is able to keep the fruit of his labor. That's very concise. I mean, you can get elaborate in your definitions if you want. I think that's very concise. I can keep the fruit of my labor. Can I keep the fruit of my labor? Look at your check stub next time. See if you're keeping the fruit of your labor. Or is somebody taking a big bite out of it? Are there teeth marks in your check? Huh? What's going on here? You might say, well, that's normal. That's always been done. Taxation is so great in this country. It's gone beyond 58%. We don't even know how far beyond 58% it's gone for sure. But I mentioned this, I think, last Wednesday night, that no civilized nation, if you can call it that, but no established country has ever not revolted. There's never not been a revolution when taxation went past 75%. It has always happened in the history of the world. Always. There is an oppression going on, but it's not just financial. You see, they control the money anyway, if you can call it money. They control all that. They want your life. They want your life. They want you to worship what they're worshiping. They want you to serve Satan. They want you to bow down before their God that they call Lucifer. Why were the early Christians put into the Circus Maximus in Rome? None of them ever died in a Colosseum. That's all just a bunch of stuff in your history books. It was always the Circus Maximus across the river, the other side of the Tiber. Why were they put there? Why were some of them made into human torches? Why were they fed to the lions? Because of what they did? No, because of what they refused to go along with. That's why. All they had to do to walk out of that Circus Maximus free is to just go over and stand in front of a bust of Caesar and just say, "You are God," and they were free to walk out and not be eaten by the lions. But we know that thousands of them stood there and were killed by the lions because the only God they acknowledged was the Almighty. It's not what they did that upset them, but what they refused to do, what they would not go along with. The Bible says they will think it strange that you run not with them. You know, what's really interesting, and I've been doing a lot of studying and reading lately, I'd like to do a lot more. Time is my biggest enemy. I'd love to have more of it. If you can figure out how to come up with a 48-hour day, let me know. But anyway, I found out, and I'm finding out all the time, that they have certain groups of people that they absolutely hate. One of them happens to be those who go against their educational system, because that is what has molded and shaped the minds of people to go along with the new age of Aquarius. I want to give you a little quote here from a man by the name of Chester M. Pierce, who was a keynote speaker at the Association for Childhood Education International. This is a group that teachers go and they're a part of. They go and they have this big conference. Did you ever hear these teachers' conferences? Here's what this man said. Listen carefully. Keynote speaker now. This is, you could say this is the definitive view of their organization. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is insane. I want to pause so you can think about it. I want to read that again. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is insane because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being. It is up to you teachers. Everybody listening to this? It is up to you teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international children of the future. Everybody get a good bite out of that one? Every child is insane because they believe in a supernatural being, but it's up to the teachers to make these sick children well again so that they fit into the new age agenda. That's what we're dealing with. God knows that's what we're dealing with. That's why you have a Goals 2000. That's why you have outcome-based education. That's why you have a system that's set up to indoctrinate people and has been doing so for years. That's why you have today a baby boom generation that is so brainwashed, that has started out with a different soundtrack in life, with the 60s music and, you know, the oldie stuff, which they play all the time again in order to trigger the reflex mechanism in their memories. The vision that was planted in my brain still remains, as Paul Simon said. In order to keep this thing perpetuated and keep it going, we have today a system that is growing up in front of a television, in front of Hollywood movies, in front of pornography, with a soundtrack that's wild and viciously full of devils, and you wonder what we've got out there and why? And why they can be manipulated, and why they can take a man as reprehensible as Billy Blythe, alias Bill Clinton, and put him in the White House. This FBI agent that was writing this, or wrote this book, which you can go out and order. It isn't on the shelves yet, but I ordered a copy. This FBI agent, Mr. Aldrich, Gary Aldrich, said that he personally watched this night after night, after midnight. The president would climb into a limousine and pull a blanket over himself, and his driver would take him to the Marriott, where he would get in an elevator in a parking lot and go up to a room where a well-known Hollywood celebrity would be, and there Bill would spend much of the night with her. You got a president hiding under blankets in the back seat of a car going down to the Marriott. And he's going to govern. You know what people say about that? Character doesn't matter. It's performance. Bob Dole stood up and he was furious. He's a 33rd degree Mason, you knew that. But he was furious. He said, I can't argue with Bill Clinton because everything he says I agree with. But when he comes to doing something, he does opposite of what he says. So you can't debate him. He'll say, yes, I agree with you. Yes, that's right, yep. Family values and all this. Oh, I agree with all this. But then when it comes to action, he forgets everything he said. This is really an amazing situation. Yeah, it's they don't give you much of a choice, do they? But people are saying, you know, character doesn't matter. Character does matter. Character is everything. Amen. Mr. Aldrich wrote in his book that when it was Christmas time, Hillary was heard to be gleefully laughing as she was decorating her tree. You know, the tree they have in their living quarters, a Christmas tree. On the tree, she had drug paraphernalia for ornaments. She had crack pipes, things like that, sex toys, all those little devices they use for sexual perversion. She decorated her tree with that. The maid quit. She absolutely quit. She said, I'm not working here anymore. It's a preferred job, civil service job. She quit. She said, I've never seen such pigs. She said, every day I clean this area and it's spotless. And I come back, it looks like a college dormitory. There's stuff poured on the floor. There's candy wrappers all over. There's junk strewn everywhere. And I have to clean it up every day. She said the other presidents weren't this bad. She absolutely threw up her arms and quit. I mean, what does that tell you? And yet people, you will find, will shrug it off. Doesn't make any difference. Mr. Aldrich was saying that as he found this out very quickly, that when Queen Hillary would walk down a hallway in the White House, everybody had the duck in an office. Nobody would dare be in a hallway she was walking down because that was her hallway. And nobody could be in it. If you were in that hallway, you had to duck into somebody's office and get out of the way until she walked past, then you could come out again. He said he didn't realize that, so he walked out one day out of an office. Here he's the FBI special agent in charge of all personnel and background checks. He walked out and he said, hi. He called her Mrs. Clinton and said, I'm so glad to see you and all this, and real nice to her. And he said she stared at him as if she had laser beams going through his brain. Like, how dare you speak to me? Huh? And he said after she walked past, all the people came out of the little offices into the hall again. She said it was like a bunch of prairie dogs coming out of their holes after a hawk flew by. Huh? That's the kind of leadership we've got. I'm not trying to plug this book, but it sounds very interesting. And $24.95, I don't sell them, but I did order one. And if you want to read more, the whole book is full of things like that. I mean, it's just incredible. This man obviously doesn't work there anymore. But just to look at what is before us, I mean, what can we do? What can we do but pray and then act upon that prayer? If we have seen great light, if we are right with God, we have every reason to stand up and point out what's wrong. That is one of our jobs. Did you know that? If we know what's right and we don't point out what's wrong, we're in absolute violation of the Word of God. People say, but you're judging. Did you ever hear that one? You're judging people. Well, I better. The Bible says judge righteous judgment. So that's what I'm doing. We all make judgments every day. I look at what people are doing. I say either that's right or that's wrong. I have to decide if it affects me or if it doesn't affect me. I still have to be able to make a judgment call regarding everything that I'm ever confronted with. You understand that? We formulate opinions in our mind. We try to sort things out. And our judgment is only as good as our information. But when we have that information, we have to make a judgment. Now let's read on and see what's going on here. He says in verse 5, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. In other words, this is talking about when the judgment begins to fall. Fire, you know, is evil. You see these homosexual gay pride parades coming down the street, and you got Al Gore and these people joining in and endorsing it. Things like that going on. I'll tell you, that's Sodom, and that's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. At least they stayed inside the city walls and practiced their perversion. Now they've come out. They want to go down the streets and say, look at us. We're queer. Aren't we wonderful? Don't you want to be one too? They want to be accepted as they are. Not only accepted, but they're enjoying their preferred status too, by the way. Minority status. They want you to endorse what they're doing. Anybody who knows what they do would have to be insane to endorse what they're doing. But then again, we've got a lot of insanity. Isn't it something how the insane people call those who are not insane, insane? Every child at the age of 5 is insane until a school straightens them out? That's what he said. You got all those teachers by the thousands sitting out there. Why don't they stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. But no. They're in their union. They got to abide by the rules. Why don't people speak up? We have a bunch of lily-livered, washed-out, gutless people nowadays, and that's the problem. You don't want to be accepted in this world. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. And he goes on and says in verse 6, for unto us, this is a prophecy, and it happened, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, he's the one they don't allow in the United Nations building, that organization set up to ensure everlasting peace. They kicked the Prince of Peace out. We don't want you. It was stipulated in advance by Alger Hiss and Posvolsky and Harry Dexter White, true name Weiss, and Dalton Trumbo, Alger Hiss, all these guys, that there is never to be any mention of God, never to be any mention of Jesus Christ in the United Nations. But they want peace? No, it wasn't established for that. That was established to bring forth a new age of Aquarius, a new system. But he is God manifest in the flesh. He is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What's it telling us here? It's saying that one day a child would be born that would be different than any other child ever born. Because this child would be born of a virgin, a woman that had never known a man. We know the story. We know how it's laughed at and scoffed at by the religious educators or indoctrinators of our day. Laughed at in seminaries and in Bible schools. You know why they laugh at it? They've had their heads so filled with evolution. And evolution, as I have said, is nothing but a bunch of monkey business. They got their heads so full of evolution and so full of unbelief and ungodliness that they can't believe in a God who could do a miracle like this. If they can't believe that God could create this whole world, if they think it got here by chance, if that's the kind of a God they serve, then they've got a different one than I've got. See, their God can't even create the smallest of all cells, the little sperm cell. That's why they have so much... Their God can't even do that. My God can create a little sperm cell and he can create the whole world. That's the one I believe in. But they have doubt. They laugh. They mock. They jeer. Because they have no faith. Now, it says of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. You know what that tells me? He's in charge right now. Because he already came, he already paid for our sins, he already suffered and died. He said, it is finished. He's sitting on his throne, ready to stand and execute judgment. Amen. And he is in charge. That tells me that they will not succeed ultimately in their one world government. So does Daniel 2:44, if you care to look it up. In the days of these kings, it tells us that Emmanuel, the Son of God, not God the Son of God, would come forth and set up a kingdom that would be established forever. And up until he came, there was always a one world government. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. But since he came, there's never been one. Never. And there won't be. You might say, but they're so close. They got this thing about wrapped up. No, they don't. They don't. They are close. But they're finding out. It's like trying to empty a swimming pool with a teaspoon. Huh? It's taken them a lot of time. They're not going to make it. The Bible says the Lord will come and interrupt them with flames of fire. Oh, it's going to be a hot time. You might say, you're smiling about that? Yes, because I want to see the evil destroyed. I've about had it. Burn it up and come forth with a new heavens and new earth, and I can say praise the Lord to that. So, and you go on, it says, the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. What are these defiant idolaters saying? Well, after this is torn down, we'll build it up ourselves. We don't need God. We'll just we'll fix it up. We'll plant new trees. We'll do it our way. I did it my way. Remember that song? Huh? Yeah. Who sang that one? Was that Frank again? Not Sohatra. Oh, Frank Sinatra. Okay. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversities of reason against him. Remember him? The conspirator from Assyria? And join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind. In other words, you got one idolatrous nation in front of you, one in back of you. What are you going to do? And they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. What does that mean? Remember when that nation crumbled, when Jerusalem fell, and there wasn't one stone left upon another? What did they try to do? They built a wailing wall. We'll build it up again with stone. And then what it just told us? We'll plant, we'll make this land fertile. It doesn't grow anything, but they got to irrigate everything because everything is, it used to be a land flowing with milk and honey, but is God forsaken and accursed now. That sandbox over there is not the Holy Land. Anybody still think it is? That's not the Holy Land over there. No way. You look at that and you look at what's going on and look at any of that and tell me that's the Holy Land, it's going to sound mighty hollow. You try to say something like that. God's wrath is stretched out, his arm is stretched out still, his hand. Why? Because it's not over yet. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. You would think that with judgment falling, people would start to think a little and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe I better repent. Maybe I better look at myself. Maybe I need a little introspection here. But no, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. It must be something else. Science will come up with the answers. We'll irrigate. We'll use hydroponics. We'll, you know, whatever. You know that half the bee population, the honeybees, have been wiped out last winter? How are you going to cross-pollinate? You know that they're shipping pregnant cattle to market? Do you realize that they're feeding the cattle junk food seconds put out by ITT Continental Baking Company, Hostess Twinkies, Ding Dongs, Ho-Hos, even gummy bear seconds are being mixed in with the feed and fed to the cattle. Anything to pack calories into them, because there's such a shortage. And it's like it's one blight and one curse after another, and people are still running around enjoying their porno and their booze and their fornication and all the nonsense. And Friday night comes along, Saturday night, they're out in the town, aren't they? They ought to be down on their knees. Because there's things coming that when it really hits, they're going to startle them beyond measure. And where are the pastors? I don't hear them saying to the people, repent. People don't like to hear that. Repent? Why should I repent? Gloom and doom, repent and all this stuff. I don't want that. I want a church that says God is love and He'll never do anything awful to us. You better believe He'll do plenty to you if you don't repent. Come on. Because judgment will be poured out, and if you don't come out of that, now if you are His child, He's going to help you. You understand that? If you belong to Him, and you're purchased by the blood, and washed in the blood, and you're His child, you've got nothing to worry about. He's on your side, not on your back. But I'm talking about the ungodly that shake their fist at Him. He'll do plenty to them. Because He's going to turn the devil loose on this world for a season, and you're going to have trouble in the land like you've never seen before. It says, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. What does that mean? Well, it tells us in verse 15, it identifies and interprets the metaphor. The ancient and honorable, He is the head. And the prophet that teacheth lies, He is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Isn't that the picture today? Isn't it? Who's the head? The honorable men. What's going to happen to them? They'll be cut off. Who's the tail? The tail. The prophet that speaketh lies. That's the tail. That's how God looks at it. That's cut off. Remember that when you were a child, did you ever play pin the tail on the donkey? You ever wonder where that came from? Do you ever wonder where the nursery rhymes came from? You know, Mother Goose, the original Mother Goose book, starts out, the first nursery rhyme in it, is about Babylon. How long, or how far is Babylon? 70. Can I get there by candlelight? Yes, and back again. That's the first one. It's occult. Witches wrote them so that little children could be taught from the time they're tiny little children in a cradle, they could learn these nursery rhymes and be trained in the occult at a very, very young age. Pin the tail on the donkey actually came, if you trace the origin of that back, from this particular scripture, the tail that is cut off. Because it was commonly known, especially in European nations, that the false prophet is the tail. The dismembered tail, you see. And so what do you have? You got all these children blindfolded with a tail, trying to pin this tail. So you got the blind leaders of the blind. You got they don't know where they're going. They're groping around in the dark with a tail, which is the symbol of the prophet that speaketh lies, to try to pin it back on the donkey after it was severed. Do you ever wonder about the origin of the party games? These things have been cleverly woven into society as traditions. Traditions, right? So, the Lord's going to sever the tail and the head. When you cut the head off, it's dead, right? Well, you'd think so. That's like religion today, see? Some people, well, it's like this. It's like the two guys arguing. They said, look at this, the turtle there. There's a turtle in the road. got his head cut off. He says, he's dead. His head's cut off. The other one says, no, he's not dead because he's still kicking. And they argued back and forth and finally agreed that, well, he's just dead and doesn't know it. See, and that's the problem with religion today. They're dead and don't know it. Head's cut off and they're still kicking. Well, therefore the Lord shall have no joy in the young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. I want to interject one quick thing here. The single most important thing that you can do as a child of God is to pray. People don't pray much anymore. They don't have time. There's time for a movie, time for a book, time for everything else, time for recreation. But when it comes time for prayer, it isn't there. A little 3-minute, 5-minute. I won't embarrass anybody by saying how many people here have a definite, distinct prayer life. Prayer is a way of life with you. That you really do get down to business and pray for an extended period of time. It's almost non-existent. There's the problem. That's why people are weak. That's why they get scared. That's why things don't happen the way they should in their lives. There's always time to pray. Always. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. Here's how bad it gets. All loyalties go away. Okay? Isn't it great that when everybody has their loyalty toward the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything's fine? But anything where he isn't in it, any organization, any system, it's all going to come to naught because all loyalties will diminish. You know that old saying, the Three Musketeers, all for one, one for all? Well, that's going to, that'll be gone. That kind of a feeling. Instead, it'll be every man for himself. Yeah. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. Say, what is that? Well, read on. And he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Now that doesn't mean they'll take a bite out of their own arm, but rather it means their brother, their fellow person, the person they're with. Cannibalism. Which does go on today, too. The Satanist movement, they're involved in cannibalism. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, how does this relate, this last verse, to us? If you look back there, Judah was the nation preserved by God because the Savior would come forth out of it. All the other nations and even the other tribes opposed Judah because they were given over to idolatry. What do we have today? Opposition against the true people, remnant people of the Almighty. Opposition that is on every side. They're walking in darkness and in blindness, and they hate the people of God. Now, isn't that wonderful that we can be separate from that particular mass of people? Isn't that wonderful? That we're not a part of that system? You might say, but all those people hate me. I feel insecure. No, you're not in touch with heaven then. You haven't been praying. Now you might think, boy, I hope the next time I come, if I can get up enough, get up and go to get here, I hope that the next time I come, he'll preach on something a little lighter. This is heavy stuff. Well, you know what? The next time you come, it'll probably be heavier. I just thought I'd warn you now so you can make your decision. I have actually gotten to the point where I'd love to see everybody here and more people, but if not, so be it. I don't know how else to be. That's just the way it's going to be. I've got something, too. I'm going to close now. Time is, well, I've got 2 minutes left. But some people, if you've read the July issue of the newsletter, and I'm sorry, they're gone again. I keep bringing them, and they just go like hotcakes. There's a Brother Stair that broadcast. I don't know if you ever heard of Brother Stair. He mentioned and read part of my newsletter on the air, and I've been inundated with mail. My desk was stacked, my wife could tell you, just covered with mail. And we're getting about 5 new readers a day. Now, you take that times 30 in a month, and you keep adding up, and it's getting exponential almost. I don't know how I'm going to keep up. But there are so many people out there that heard about this. The newsletters are just, I don't know what to say. It's just going like everything. But if you read the July issue, I made reference to something called the full face of God, a geometric design by the Catholic Church, where they claim that the full face of God is 666. You smell a rat? I ran off. I got this information from Europe, from England, to be exact, because I have correspondence over there. And I made 21 copies. It's on legal size paper, so I didn't have a lot of paper, but I ran it through my copier on the way over. Before I left. That's quite a copier I pulled behind my car, you know. But I've got 21 of them, and you're welcome to them. I know Jason had asked for one. That's what made me think of this. So I want to make sure he gets one. If everybody else doesn't, he doesn't, I'll feel awful. I can run more, but just take one per family if you could, if you want this. What it is it has... this article put out by the Catholic Church, which appeared in the Catholic Pictorial, has three sets of six exercises or patterns of thought, whatever you want to call it, the six route to well-being, the six surrenders, and the six affirmations, the three sixes. And this diagram, which you see in their Bibles sometimes in the two-way version, okay, that diagram is supposed to be the full face of God and equals 666. You know what they're doing? That whole system of Catholicism is leading their people to the mark of the beast. And they're coming right out with it. What more could... You know, when the Lord said watch and pray, He's made it so easy for us. There's so much to watch and to see if you have discernment. Do you ever wonder at how you can see and understand all this and there are all kinds of people out there wandering around in a fog that don't see any of it? It just goes to show you what's happened with their brains. They've been spiritually lobotomized. But anyway, thank God for deliverance. Keep preaching it. Keep standing up. Keep declaring it. Judgment is on the way. It has already started. And somebody better declare it. And that's all of us. Amen. I'm going to put these down in front. Please be courteous and I can run more. All right? But let's close with a prayer. Stand with me if you would, please. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the power and the strength of Thy word. I pray that Thou wouldst be with us now. Give us courage and faith. I pray that Thou wouldst stand with us, O Lord, in the face of all adversity, that Thou wouldst lead, direct, and guide us by Thy truth. We submit ourselves to Thee and to Thee only, O Lord. Let Thy word be true. Let every man be a liar. I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst strengthen our faith exceedingly. Help us to walk through this wicked world in robes of white and the righteousness of Thy holy name. O Lord, I pray once again that Thou wouldst smite every devil that would try to stand in our way. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of Thy saving blood, I pray that Thou wouldst bless all of Thy people in Jesus' name. Amen.